Hey, Coop.
Yeah, Dylan?
Dude, you remember all seven Macrosses?
Seven of them?
Oh, wait, sorry, I misread the title. Dude, you remember Macross 7!
how are you doing, my dude?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. It's a little stuffy in here, but it's Arizona, so what you gonna do?
I'm having, like, the opposite problem. It's a little chilly in here, and I'm also slightly congested, so there's that. I think I'll be fine. It's just...
Minus the congestion, I'm actually kind of jealous, because I kind of miss the days of it being cold as fuck, and you just get into a blanket and have a hoodie and stuff on. Like... Don't miss ice, but it being a bit chilly, I actually miss that.
Bundling up is nice. I will never... I would rather be too cold than too hot.
Yeah, I think I've...
Insofar as they're not, like, life-threatening conditions, I should say.
Yeah, I think it's because we're filthy Midwesterners. I'm like, I actually appreciate the cold more than I thought I did.
Right.
Then again, I lived in the UP for a while, so that's... Let me tell you about negative 25, Dylan. Yeah.
Well, tell me about it.
I could, but... Just don't walk at it in it at 2 a.m., because I did that a couple times. Yeah,
that sounds not fun.
No, it's not fun. Not fun at all. Not fun at all. Boy, I feel old now. Anyways, are you my dude, man, you know it's a Monday when you start talking and either one, me or you, is a little discombobulated.
Yeah.
I think it's the brand, though.
That's fair.
Yeah. Anyways, so we are in the end game of Macross 7, the TV series, anyways. Episode 40. Are you ready to just dive on into this?
So Coop, I have to be honest with you real quick.
Yes.
I thought we were going to briefly talk about the clip show episode, and... Because of that, I didn't watch episode 42. I'm really sorry.
Oh, it's all good. Because I think 39 was the one we last watched at the last one. That's all good. That's okay, though.
Okay.
You can just do a little homework. Don't worry about it.
It's been so long, I guess, that...
Yeah.
You know, just...
And my bad for not refreshing the episode numbers, but that's all good.
Oh, that's all good. I should have reached out.
Don't worry about it. Just wait. We'll give the addendum tweets like, fuck, man. Anyways, so start episode 40. There, after we get the requisite recap, there is a news report on the Pro Devlin going around following what happened on Lux. The experts are like, it could have been pretty dire, and the public is pretty concerned about this, Flower Girl included. Though the mayor's office blimp goes around, it's like, hey, don't worry about it, they're lying. And at the office, Melia's like, okay, Max, are you gonna do anything to, like, give us a plan or something? Everybody's freaking out. And this is a phone call, and Max is, like, not really able to do anything. He says, like, it's your responsibility. It's mostly, cold, but mostly he's in a big meeting full of all the top brass when she's calling. So, yeah. And the band is there, too, at the meeting. And Mylene's like, why is Mom gonna be so temperamental on the phone? I'm just like, she's got a lot on her plate, dear.
It's like, I get both. I get both of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Barton and the generals kind of review the little information they have. It's not much to go on. And he asks Basara, it's like, okay, you were here in person. What's your take on all this? And everybody is like, jaw dropped. And it's like, oh, the Proto-Devil are awesome. You know, they have feelings and they actually have hearts. And Basara's like, what the fuck? Not Basara. Barton's like, what the fuck are you talking about? No, that's not what I want to hear. How can we kill them? And Basara's like, well, Giggle had feelings and Sybil showed me the universe. So,
it's like, yeah, you just don't get it.
No. And Basara's like, your opinions don't matter, dude. And Bard's like, oh, you're just useless, like, whatever. So we're going to have a full-out attack on the Proto-Devlin. Most of the generals are kind of there with it. And Basara's like, I'm not going to let you start a war with this. It's like, my song can get through to them. And Bard's like, oh, you bringing here was just a waste of my time. And some of the other generals are like, you know, your singing was just for weakening them, right? And confusing them. Basara's like, no. It was not.
This and fucking Barton, asshole surrounded by his yes men. Yeah. They're the worst. I hate all of them.
And Barton's like, but we control you, though, because we military. And you only sing to make them run away. I guess your singing sucks. And Vassar's like, fuck you, and goes off. And Mylene and the band are right behind him. Though what's really funny about this moment, as Fafita leaves, Rey hands her sticks back to her.
It's so good. It's such a good bit.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't... It took me, like, a half a second to realize why he was handing them back to her, and then when it clicked, it's such a great delayed gag.
Excellent. Excellent. This and the next one have a lot of great delayed gags. Yeah.
Not delayed. Understated, I think, is what I meant to say.
Oh, yeah. And as they leave, Max and Exodol end up agreeing with Barton, but they don't want to use reaction weapons like Barton wants to, which are basically nukes. And Barton and the general's like, it's the only way, though. And Max is like, no.
Max is more like, I'm very uncomfortable right now.
Yeah.
That you would even suggest this.
Yep. Like, didn't you guys remember that one time the UN Spacey decided they wanted to turn Alaska into a cannon? You know,
Oh, it was so great.
Yeah,
it worked out so well.
Yep, It's not like it wiped out most of Earth's population or something like that. I don't know. Over on Gepelinch's ship, he is given a gift to ignore Anima Spiritia and continue on with the plan. And in and around the city, Gamlin runs into Mori, who begs him to return to the Diamond Force, given everything that's going on. But Gam's like, nah, I'm sorry, I gotta go. And in the practice room, Mylene is pretty pissed with what Barton said, but Basara is kind of goaded on by this even more to... reach the Proto-Devlin with the songs.
Yeah, just completely lets it roll off his shoulders.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if he would have done at the beginning of the show. Mm-mm. What do you think?
No. I don't know, because it seems, especially in these episodes, everything that comes after him, he just kind of like uses that as more fuel instead of just screaming at it for the most part. It's like... Challenge accepted, motherfuckers.
Yeah, he just found his momentum and he's keeping it going.
Mm-hmm. And so next year, Gamlin shows up to talk with Basara. It's like, hey, you gotta take things easy while you're out there. You're pretty much the only thing everybody has right now, do you know, to keep things going. And Basara's like, okay, I'll tone it down, you know? But you seem kind of out of place, not in the military, dude. It's like, why are you even talking to me? It's like, a uniform suits you. And Gamma's like, I guess I am talking to you because I am ex-military. Huh, how about that? And another cute moment, Basara heads back into the practice room, only to bonk Mylene right in the nose as she is right behind the door.
Another great delayed gag.
It's so good. And she's like, okay, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And Basara's like, oh, no, we weren't talking about anything. And then the alarm goes off. And the Pro-Devlin ships are folding in. And everybody, all the ships are scrambled in response. And as Gamlin is suiting up to head off, he reflects on what Basara said to him about how a uniform suits him. And as the battle starts getting real going, the Sound Force starts singing Planet Dance. And Gamlin's like, even more heated when he finally gets out there. Basara is as well. And again, it's really getting Gamlin going. And Chiba notes, oh, their sound units are even crazier than they were before. Excuse me. So it's going off like crazy. So they send out the sound boosters, and the sound beam goes off, but it has no effect on the Proto-Devlin mechs. And everybody on the bridge is really confused on this. And Max is like, set out the battle probes. I need to see what's going on here. And Docker starts attacking enemy mechs with full force. But Gammon's like, these may still be people. So I'm going to be disabling the mechs as best I can in the meantime, trying to take out the guns and whatever I can. And Dick and Maury from the D-Force show up and it's like, hey, Gamlin, we need you, dude. Like, it's crazy out here, and we don't know what to do. And after just, like, a split second, Gamlin's like, okay, D1, D2, get in this formation. We gotta, like, they're going right back to it. And with this, my favorite Fire Bomber song shows up for the first time, Try Again. Mm. It is...
It's a good one.
It's real good. It's real good. But despite the fact that I really love it, the sound beams are not effective on the mechs. And Gamlin is confused by this, but gets enraged by it. It's like, listen to his song, damn it! And Gamlin manages to then get on top of the mech and open it up, and it's unmanned. It's piloted by the orb gift thing that Gepel Lynch had given Hiei. And making sense of the situation...
We should probably learn his real name sooner or later.
Yeah, it's Gabble. So, I got you.
I feel bad for the listeners who might have forgotten the gag and are just like, why the fuck does he keep saying Hiei?
Yeah. But Gabble, that is. And Hiei, Gabble. We'll just stick with Hiei because gags are fun.
Okay. Well, for the listeners at home, we're talking about Gabble.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But oh my gosh, he really does look like Hiei.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At least he has his eyes and his spiky hair.
Yeah, he does. Now you mention it. I just said it as a joke because you said bad Yu Yu Hakusho villain at first. I'm like, well, nope.
Yeah, I was thinking more like one of the villains from the Dark Tournament or something. Mm, but then you said Hiei, and I was like, you know what? I can kind of see Hiei in there. That works.
Having made sense of the fact that these are robots, Mylene is confused why Basara is still going so hard, but Basara doesn't care, and Ray's like, he's singing to the galaxy, dude. He don't care. And Gamlin ends up finding the signal leading to the command unit. And he heads after it, after ordering Dick and Maury to let loose and protect the Sound Force since they're robots. And
okay, this is somewhat pertinent to the Gabble conversation.
Yeah.
But I have to do a confession time right now. As you've been recapping this episode, I've had episode 42 playing in the background at double speed.
Your goat champion. I no worries, because boy, today. So your boy was up like super fucking late editing, and then I couldn't fall asleep, and I slept for a bit. I looked at my clock; it's like I meant to get up a half hour earlier. But whatever, I'll watch my stuff, dude. Taking notes for the show takes a while, so but it's all good. It's all good. Okay.
And this might be getting ahead of where our listeners are at, but I just wanted to point out that I did not know that Gabigula, or Gabigula, however you pronounce that, I did not know that was a name that would be a thing that I would need to be aware of.
That's your new middle name?
Dylan Gabigula Gregory.
Yeah. The notorious Gabigula.
Oh my god. Okay, but yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah. We can go back to where we were. Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. And Max orders the cameras to follow Gamlin, and they find Hiei, who's backed up by Seiden with a surprise beam. But right before it can hit Gamlin, Basara is able to shoot his sound beam through an asteroid and repel Seiden, and everybody's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it shoots through solid matter now. Fuck you.
It's fucking awesome. And Gamlin, who's just like, damn, fuck this. I'm going to go. He's just going to let loose on the mechs and Hiei. And he is like, this guy might be even more annoying than Basara. Oh, boy. And he realizes, hey, maybe it's actually my duty to let everybody hear Basara's song. And after the fight, Ray mentions to Gamlin, that was a close one, before Basara and Mylene lay right into him for being too reckless. And Basara takes a little bit of delight in it, because he's like, you're the one telling me not to be reckless. How about that? And he giggles as Mylene scolds him. And afterwards, everybody's chilling out the apartment, and Gamlin's over at Melia's office and asks her to reinstate him. And she's like, I never actually dismissed you, dude. You're still the commander of the Sound Force. And he's more than ever ready to protect the Sound Force in the city. And Melia's like, hell yeah, my dude. And it ends as Basara's playing Totsugeki and everybody's pretty chill. So, overall, that's a great... I thought this was a great Gamlin episode. It kind of brings what we were talking about in the last one about him being kind of confused about his identity, mm-hmm. and kind of brings it back around forward and resolves it really well.
I know
what
I'm good at. I know what I find fulfilling, and I know how I can... reconcile. That's the word I was thinking.
Yeah.
I know how I can reconcile... what I want and what I value, or what I do and what I value.
Especially like, I think a lot of this too is like, again, Basara and Gamlin have such a good relationship that they're bouncing, like they're just making each other better all the time. And I'm just, that's like Gamlin getting so hype when he goes out there, hearing the song. I'm just like, boy, true bros. But yeah, like great development on that end. And also the gags in this episode are great. So, do you have any other thoughts on this one before we move on to 41?
No, I think we really kind of summed it up talking about Gamlin's character. It was the nice, logical next step. And it even... kind of reinforces that Hikaru parallel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do really appreciate that they let it go for a couple episodes and then they just nipped it instead of letting it drag on forever.
Yeah, I was kind of afraid that's what they were going to do, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree 1,000%.
So that... Thank you. Thank you, Shoji and crew. Mwah. Anyway,
it was exactly the length it needed to be.
Yes. So moving on to the next one here, 41. We are at a concert venue, and Flower Girl and the crowd waiting to get in are bummed that even though Basara's back, they haven't been playing shows. And there's a young kid who's really obviously smitten.
It's almost like they're protecting the city. Sorry, I just had to cut in with that.
Maybe, perhaps. Who can say? But this kid who's really spinning with Mylene, and he even has this cute little homemade kuvaba on his shoulder.
It's so adorable. I love it so much.
It's cute. And he shows up, trying to pick a fight with some creeps who are selling creeper picks of Mylene.
Yeah. Very not okay.
No, but something I did notice, and this could have been my wee brain going into overdrive, or maybe not. Have you seen Otaku no Video, Dylan?
I know of Otaku no Video. I haven't actually seen it.
So the main two characters, their designs look really close to the two creepers who are trying to sell photos in this.
Oh my god.
Are you doing what I think you're doing?
That's incredible.
I was like, that may just be my wee brain going in soup mode, but like it was close enough to make me go, I would not be surprised if it was intentional. I appreciated that if that was the intention. It was good. And boy. So going forward from that. Hey, look, the jamming birds are practicing again. I mean, getting more PTSD, and the Emerald Force are attacking them as if they were the enemy. And oh boy. So the band is asked to watch on as Max, Chiba, and Barton are observing. And Mylene's like, we had to cancel a show for this? Why are we here? And it's like, I don't know. And Chiba points out what we already know about them. They suck. They won't work. And Barton's like, well, they'll get better. We'll use them to distract and shoot people. And Max is like, no.
It's such...
no.
The jamming birds are not going to work. Stop trying to make them work, Barton.
No. It's even worse as people continue to break down in the middle of this stuff. So I'm just like, oh boy. It's good. I did appreciate too that Max also kind of skewers him by saying, well, they are a civilian unit.
Right.
Yeah. A little later in the night, Gamlin and Mylene were off on a date, and he drops her off at her house. And he initially gets a little flustered when she's like, hey, you want to come in for a cup of tea? And after a little bit, after she gets a little bummed out that he won't come in, he's like, oh, okay, I'll come in for a cup of coffee, whatever. And gets even more flustered when a photo flashes and she's like, is this the paparazzi? And he's like, oh, this is a totally platonic relationship. There's nothing going on here at all. But instead of Tabloid, it's actually just the kid from earlier. And the kid is really bummed out by a lack of concert. And he's like, you shouldn't be on dates like this. But can you sing My Friends for me? It's like, I'm a big fan. And Guvaba's like, what is that thing on his shoulder? And he's like, well, it's not perfect, but I've never seen you up close before, so I did my best. And Gamlin then cuts and is like, hey, she's tired. We'll see her again at the concert later. And she's like, I'll sing later. It's like, oh, are you going to sing tomorrow? I'll show up in Akasho if need be. My name's Billy, by the way. And he says, oh, that's a promise, so I'll be there, before he flicks up her skirt and runs off. Boy, kid, I wouldn't do that, but yeah.
I don't know what it is. Because, like, this is also a thing in Super Sentai Gyuranger.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, wait, I don't think it was Gyuranger, actually. It was Die Ranger.
I know it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. They're right next to each other, so I got mixed up.
It's all good.
But, yeah, no, they have this thing where it's like, haha, the kid sexually harasses the girl character, but it's funny because he's a kid. That makes it okay.
Mm-mm. I also remember that City Hunter episode, kind of when Ryo's like, hey, kid, let me show you how to be a dirtbag.
Right, like, gotta get them initiated early while they're young.
Just do this along with me, kid. What?
That's so gross.
What are you even saying? It's not great. It's not great. And Gamlin is flustered by the thing he just saw when Mylene's like, did you just see what that kid did? And meanwhile, Gepelnitch has plans. That's all you need to know.
He has dreams, excuse you.
Yes, this is true. He needs to put the right colors. Is Gepelnitch Bob Ross? Because he needs to put the right colors in his picture. Well, I'll put a happy little proto-devlin and the spiritua. Just remember, there's no mistakes. Only new ways to dream. Proto-devil... Proto-culture-bless.
Thank you for inviting me onto your artificial spacecraft city. Can't wait to see you next week.
I got the colors of the spiritua running on the screen below me. So at the apartment, they're practicing a new song. Akiko's there, and obviously Mylene's a bit out of it. And they start teasing her about, like, oh, you had a date with Gamlin, right? And they start teasing her even more when he shows up. It's like, oh, you're going on another date, right? And Basara's like, oh, you don't have time to go on a date. But Billy ends up showing up with them. It's like, I'm the date! Before he starts snapping pictures of Basara and crew. And Gamlin's like, he waited outside my door all night. I just brought him along with. He didn't even know where Akasho was anyways. Sorry. And Billy's like, I came to listen to you play. And Mylene's like, well, we're practicing seriously, though. And Basara's like, eh, whatever, let the kid hang out. The kid's like, I'll listen seriously, don't worry. And Ray's like, oh, whatever, chill out. And Ray's like, taken aback when Billy calls him Uncle Ray. It's like, Uncle Ray, oh boy.
It's such, the face he makes is amazing.
Yes, it's very good. And it's like, you should just come to a concert. And then Billy swipes Guvava, but starts pulling at his tail and hurting him a little bit. And Mylene takes him back, and it's like, oh, your bass! And he starts playing the bass line of Totsugeki Love Heart pretty well. And she scolds him, like, hey, this is my livelihood, don't touch this. And he runs off and drops his Guvava. And outside, Billy finds the pervs again, but they start beating him up this time. And Mylene shows up, and the pervs, being scumbags, blame the kid for the pictures. And she believes them because all the pictures he was taking. And the kid's like, fuck you, and runs off. And she's like, I don't care. I don't need that fan. And what's funny is Gamlin afterwards, the pervs have ran away and Gamlin gets the drop on them. It's like, what? What did you do? Mylene returns without the kid. And she's like, it was useless. And Basara hands him the homemade guvava, and it has a ticket from the very first concert she performed with Firebomber. And Roy's like, there's not a lot of people from those days still around, you know. And Gamlin shows up and he sets the record straight in the photo situation. And we flash back to the pervs who are doing push-ups and sit-ups.
As they should. I hope they suffer.
It's good. Yes. It's good. Gamlin. And Akiko, through like her ticket registry, is able to find the kid's address on the agriculture ship Sunny Flower. And Mylene's like, okay, I'm going to run out my Valk and apologize to the kid. And she shows up at the ship and finds there are huge speakers that the farmers use to play classical music to the crops. And the farmer who comes up and speaks to her is like, well, there's this one kid who's been trying to play Firebomber through it. Oh, you're looking for that kid? Well, he's an orphan. I've been looking after him for the last couple years. He wants to move to City 7 at some point. Keeps on talking about this Firebomber people. I don't know. I don't know what the kids like to listen to. I love Beethoven. roll over Beethoven! Roll over Beethoven! You remember that movie, Beethoven?
No, yes, I remember the movie. I never saw it, though. I think I watched, like, the first 15 minutes at a friend's house once, and then I had to go home.
I remember the sequel more than anything. I don't know where this came from, but the sequel more than everything, where they had to save Beethoven's girlfriend dog from abusive owners. That's all I remember, and then it became Charles Grodin, where did you go? Anyways, 90s movies aside, my brain. Mylene ends up finding Billy's house and walks on in. He's not there, but she finds a really well-taken photo of her next to the photo of his parents. And the Proto-Devlin has shown up and everybody is deployed. And Gamlin's like, why isn't Mylene back yet? And Gamlin notices further that something is up because the enemy's movements are off. And then Billy's hanging out in front of a silo. And he's kind of ashamed of the fact he flicked up her skirt. As he should be. And the alarm's about to go off, but it cuts off. And Billy's like, oh, it must just be a false alarm. When in reality, Hiei went to the command center and killed it. Well, probably life sucked him. Let's say life sucked, but probably killed. And took out the alarm. Gamlin then notices something was really off when the Proto-Devlin retreat. And Hiei calls Max from the Sunnyflower Bridge saying, I'm going to hit the self-destruct on this. And cause a chain explosion that destroys everything. Unless you give me Basara. And Basara's like, I'm going in, no hesitation. And Max and Gamlin are like, what? This is reckless. And Basara's like, hey, I go in when I'm called. That's the fire bomber way. And Hiei says, oh, this is exactly how Geff said it would be. But it's taken off guard when he starts hearing Mylene singing. And Billy hears her, too, and runs after her. And he hops in his mech to activate, and also activates his Bose sound-canceling headphones to go after her. The bridge also notices her sound signature, and Gamlin goes after her to help, while Basara's like, hey! Ray tells Basara, yo, you can let loose. He's like, oh, yeah. But he also says, given that Mylene made this happen, it's like, well, I guess you can be useful sometimes. Okay, Basara. But Basara's been very jokey at
this point, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Basara's just ribbing everybody at this point. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And Billy ends up finding her, and they apologize for everything to each other, and she hands him back his Guvava. However, they are blown away when Hiei uses his missiles to take out Mylene's sound booster pack. And Billy is able to run off and turns Firebomber on the speakers before Hiei blasts the unit he's at apart and almost crushes him in the rubble. And Mylene is able to dig him out, and she's like, sing. It's like, even if you don't have the sound boosters, it's like, you remember that gun with speaker pods? It's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. It's like, really? No, not really. I totally remember the speaker pod. But she shoots the pods inside his cockpit as Gamlin arrives to support her and Hiei retreats. Basara ends up causing the outside greater force to retreat as well. And Billy passes out because Mylene was singing My Friends. It's like, this is great. And Mylene and Gamlin visit him later in the hospital. And he's finishing up a better Guvava he has put together. And as a gift, Gamlin's like, hey, we're going to take a special fan photo of the best of you, of the two of you. But Billy has to be the mischievous pervert child and lift up her skirt. And Gamlin gets so nervous he accidentally clicks the shoot button. And we end with an awkward photo.
I will not improve. I will not change. That is a promise. Oh boy. Honestly, sexual harassment aside, this was a fun, fluffy episode.
Yeah.
And we haven't really had one of those in a while.
Mm-mm, no.
So definitely appreciated. The only other thing I really have to say on this episode, it was pretty breezy, so not a real whole lot to really talk about.
It's nice to have a little bit of breeze before things completely heat up, even though they continue
absolutely.
To.
One sec. Okay. Yeah, and then the other thing was Basara. I remember much earlier he was sulking about having to play for children, and now he's like, oh, a child wants to hang around while we practice? Yeah, that's cool. I'm not sure if that was deliberate character development, but I noticed.
Mm. I remember that too. I guess at this point he's more like, I'm just going to sing for everybody. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Which I am down with, and boy, the boy we thought would never have any development has development. It's great.
Right. Like, again, it's very understated development, but I think it works because of that, you know?
Mm, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, episode 43. There we go. That's totally how French works, right, Dylan?
Yeah. 43. Sounds about right.
42. Anyway, Basara is hanging out in a park, and he's singing My Soul for You while looking at space and thinking about everything that happened with Civil and Giggle. Exodol and Sheba are reviewing the information they have on the Proto-Devil so far to find a way to take him out. From what they have, they figure out there are 7 Proto-Devil, with one they haven't seen just yet. Max wants them to find the Sand Spirits ASAP so they can seal them, and Chiba has a hunch it might have something to do with sound energy. Chiba tells Exodol he wants to try something with the Sound Force. Afterwards, once he knows the plan and they're just chilling in the practice space, Basara isn't crazy about Chiba's idea, which is to capture one of them with a sound barrier, saying it's sing to them is meaningless if they're not free. And he then goes on to point out what happened with Civil beforehand. Ray tries to open up to the idea of saying, you know, if we do this, we might have some leverage with them to prove your point to them about having hearts before the military can do anything further. And Mylene's, okay, let's just practice and try it. And he snaps at her a little bit. And then it's like, okay, we'll do it. And back at the ship, the Proto-Devil ship, Hiei plans to do something irreversible. And it will that might fail if he doesn't succeed. And he plans to capture Basara in doing this. So the band is practicing the procedure to capture a Proto-Devil. And they're using their sound waves to triangulate, but they all have to match each other's vibes to make it work. And Basara's going so hard that he refuses to drop or do anything to meet Mylene at her level to make this work. And it fails, and Chiba's like, okay, I'm going to tool around this plan. And Mylene's not happy with it, with how it turned out. But Ray's like, oh, we'll get it next time. And Gamlin shows up to talk things over with her. And she's like, yeah, I know Basara's all over the place. But I believe you have the potential to take this further. You know, you can do more. And I'm not saying this to be mean. Like, I don't know singing, but I believe in you. But this obviously upsets her and she runs off. Elsewhere, Basara is just floating in space attached to the oxygen tube on his Valk. Well, more of a tether, so he doesn't go completely floating off more than anything. And he's wondering where Civil went. However, the Proto-Devil are soon detected and all the Valkyries are scrambled. The crew heads off, and Ray notices, oh, you're way more fired up than usual, Mylene. And Sadin and the rest of the Proto-Devil are making very quick work of the VF-11s while everybody's fighting. And soon, the light gets holy and lonely as the crew starts trying to capture Sadin again. And he's like, I'm going to try to capture you now, Basara. And as they're doing it, it's not working, but Mylene thinks back to what Gamlin said, and she decides to actually move in closer to Sadin to balance the beams out so they can capture it. And realizing what she's doing, the D-Force goes on the offensive to guard them. And the barrier's working. And he's like, what is this? And the citizens of City 7, seeing this on the news, are rejoicing. And he then asks Gebelinch, can I assume my ultimate form? And Gebelinch is like, you can, but you only have so much time, and says this in a way more anecdotal way. And Gamel ends up shooting down Hiei's mech for him to only fly into the barrier and merge with Satan, becoming Gabula, or Gabulilila, Dylan's middle name.
It's a lot. I'm not gonna front. It's a lot.
It's extra. But Basar is jazzed by how extra this is, since he has a full-blown, complete proto-Devlin he can sing to. And Gabula breaks through the barrier, but Basar keeps on singing away anyways. However, it seems like it can push through Basar's song. And Max is like, you get out of there. And the Macross cannon is primed to fire. But before Basar can really do anything, because he realizes what's going on here, Gamlin swoops in and takes him away. And the beam fires, but the cannon, it does nothing to Gabula other than putting a little suit on him. And he gets even more enraged and destroys a ton of Valkyries and just swats Gamlin aside. And Basar tries to sing his way out, but he ends up getting crushed and Satan blasts at the same time, only to be narrowly saved by Sivil coming in and rushing on in, encountering the Satan blast with a blast of her own. However, Gabula starts melting and falling apart, and Gabula's like, you're out of time, and this transformation is killing Gabula, and they split and retreat. And Basar catches a faint Sivil, and everybody's shocked that she came to save him, and he goes out in a spacesuit to meet her. She's like, why did you save me? And she tries to mac on his face, but ends up sucking out some of his life juice in the process. But Sivil soon snaps out of it, realizing what she's been doing.
And it looked to me that she was giving some of it, actually.
Oh, she was... It looked like she was taking it, because he was getting worn out. Yeah. Because she used a lot of it to repel that beam.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. One sec. I have it pulled up right now.
It's all good. Yeah, because he is a pooped boy after not totally life sucked, but he poop.
Right. Oh, okay. I know why I thought that. The beam is coming from her mouth, but then it takes his spiritual. Okay.
Gotcha. So he pooped, but she's like, I want more spiritual, and starts life sucking all the pilots around and about. And she finally does a full realization of what she just did. And she's like, I gotta get out of here. And just leaves Basar floating because she's upset with what she just did to him. And that's the episode. So, yeah, a lot of stuff happening in this round.
It's nice to finally see Sivil again.
Yeah, it's good to see her.
That was the big one.
Yeah. And Gabula.
It is what it is.
I kind of dig that's a big winged abomination, but I'm just like, boy! Then again, this show is very extra to begin with, so.
It's a lot.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't really have any other thoughts on my end of what happened in these ones. Did you have any other thoughts on your end, my dude?
Not a whole lot. Like, As the show has been going for the last 2 or 3 weeks that we've recorded, shit's getting real. And shit has continued to get real. And, you know, I should hope that it will continue to get real until the final episode. Ideally.
Very real. Yes. I remember really liking the finale, so I look forward to getting to that. That is it for this round of episodes. Let's go ahead and cap it on off with some plugs here. And skadoodle, skedaddle, fadaddle. So, all right. As always, you can find us at our home, anchor.fm/dude. Remember, they are kind enough to push us on over to Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. If you listen to podcasts in a place, you'll probably be able to find us there. And if you want to give us a review, feel free to. We'd love to hear from you. And speaking of hearing from you, You can always shoot us an email at dyrmcast@gmail.com, as well as we're on the social medias, Facebook/DudeYouRemember, Twitter @DudeYouRemember. And as always, we got to thank Mr. Chris Eakins, artist and developer and does a lot of things for the game Risk System, for providing the show's key art. To see more of his work, including maybe new projects, check out RiskSystem_game on Twitter. And yo, Risk System, it is out on Steam and Xbox right now, on itch, so you can buy it. But soon, I don't know how long it's going to take, and we'll let you know. It will be coming to the PS4 and your Nintendo Switch. I know I'm buying it again on Switch, let me tell you. So I am pumped. But speaking of things to be pumped about, tell me, Dylan, about how you pump it up on your other podcasts.
Pump it up? I feel like that's a reference to something. But anyway. Kinda,
sorta.
Backstage Gaming is a show I do, and on that show we talk about acting and video games, and we look at video games through the lens of, like, a couple of fine arts majors. It's me, Shaboy, and then also a friend of the show, Chris Wilson. We do it every other week now, and it's a lot of fun. So if you want to check that out, you can find us on Backstage Gaming, where our handle on Twitter is @BSG_cast. And we are also on Facebook, and you know where you can get us? You can get us on Stitcher, on Google Play, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, really. I am also part of the Unexplored Places, which is a web series, actual play podcast web series about season 2 is Tango Sector, where we are a bunch of space explorers, and that's been really fun. So if you like science fiction, if you like tabletop games, I recommend you check us out there at the Unexplored. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Unexploredcast.libsyn.com. You can also find them on Twitter on... Wow, I can't talk right now. You can also find them on Twitter at unexploredcast.
Don't feel bad. I can't talk good either. Anyways, if you want to yell at us personally, my personal Twitter is @RiderStrike. And Della, where can people be thrilled by ya?
I can thrill ya at the Dilla, that is @THA_DILA.
Sick! All right. So, as always, thank you for listening. We'll be back at it again next time. And remember, wash those hands, wear a mask, Black Lives and Trans Lives Matter. And y'all have a great week. Take care,
everyone.
Bye-bye.